Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation Mount Zion at the 12th Hour in the Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is August the 27th, 2014. All right, it's Elul 2, 2018. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, He Lives. I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever man may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives. He lives, Yahshua lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blood. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, Yahshua lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to Him high. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Yahshua the King. The hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so lovely, so good and kind. He lives, Yahshua lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to Him high. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Isaiah, the Gospel Prophet, Part 3. We're going to continue now our series. We're in the little booklet by M.L. Andreessen, a Seventh-day Adventist minister, back in 1928, 29, 30. He wrote other little booklets, but we're going to deal with Isaiah the Gospel Prophet, Part 3. We're on page 14, I believe, of the first chapter, yes. And we're going to first look at some scripture for prayer thought. We're going to look at scriptures in the book of Psalms by David that has the word peace in it. Psalms 85:8. I will hear what Yahweh, the Yahweh will speak. For He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints, and let them not turn again to folly. Okay. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. That's Psalms 85:10. Psalms 109:1. Hold not thy peace, O Yahweh of my praise. Psalms 119:165. A great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Psalms 120:6. My soul hath long dwelt with him that hateth peace. Verse 7. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. Psalms 122:6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Now, I just have been worshiping with Methodist Church here in Liberty Hill in the last several weeks. And their pastor informed me that they pray for the prosperity and peace of Jerusalem. And they love Israel. And no doubt they quote this scripture themselves, Psalms 122:6, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and they shall prosper that love thee. Okay. So now I can understand why the Holy Spirit impressed me to go visit my Gentile brethren, because I have the same concern for Israel. I love them, they're my people, and I pray for their peace and prosperity of Israel, myself, and I love those that do. Psalms 122:7. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. Verse 8. For my brother and companion's sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Psalms 125:5. As for such as turn aside under their crooked ways, the Yahweh shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. Psalms 128:6. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel. Psalms 147:14. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. Proverbs 3:2. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. Proverbs 3:17. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Proverbs 7:14. I have peace offerings with me this day. Have I paid my vow? Proverbs 11:12. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. Proverbs 12:20. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but unto the counselors of the peace is joy. When a man's ways are pleasing Yahweh, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Ecclesiastes 3:8. A time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. But right now Israel is having a time of war. But there is a time of peace that will come to Israel. And in Isaiah 9:6, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor of the Mighty Yahweh. Now, when you put the preposition in there, you include the Father. But when you leave it out, then it the evidence falls on the Son's shoulders, that he's the Mighty Elohim. But when you put the preposition in there, then he's the Son of the Mighty Elohim. That's the difference. And it says, the Everlasting Father. You put the preposition in of the Everlasting Father, and then you include the Father and Son. But if you leave the preposition out, then you only include the Son. As the Prince of Peace. There's your preposition added again, as. And that applies to the Son only. He's the Prince of Peace. I say it applies to him only. Yahweh the Father is also a Prince of Peace. He is the original Prince of Peace. Okay, Isaiah 9:7. Of the increase of his government. Whose government? The Son's government, Yahshua. And peace, it said. There shall be no end. So we're so happy that Yahweh has raised up the tabernacle of David that has fallen down for many centuries, and with Elijah David, and with the leading of the unseen hand, the guiding of the unseen hand, brings Elijah David to the place and location where he is to sit up this throne of David, where Yahshua is to come and sit upon it. So happy are ye folks that have already been here that live in Liberty Hill, Texas. Liberty Hill, Texas will be the most famous place in the Western Hemisphere here one day. Right here in the heart of Texas. The increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. For the zeal of the Yahweh, Yahshua of the host, the Son, will perform it. All right, now I'm going to tell you what, this is the most wonderful thing, because it says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David. There be no end upon the throne of David, and we represent this throne of David, folks. There's power and faith in believing of the written word. When inspiration reveals the truth of the matter to you, just like inspiration revealed to me in my reading just yesterday, in my study, I guess it was yesterday, or anyway, it said that about the kingdom, and it talked about the New Jerusalem, and this New Jerusalem is going to be set up right here with us. I can't find it just right now, but it's going to be set up right here, starting right here, the New Jerusalem, the Holy City. And as we know, inspiration shows us that when Yahweh can get people together that are declared holy, that can perform their vows and keep the statutes and judgments of the sanctuary that he appoints them over, then he can bring forth a holy, righteous nation. Not only of a righteous nation with the name of Israel, but a righteous nation that can also be called Israel, the geographical location of it, and the land itself. Okay? So when you're talking about Jerusalem in the Middle East, you're talking about the land of Israel. And who are the children of Israel? The original children of Israel were the 12 sons of Jacob. They were called the children of Israel because Jacob received a name change when he was wrestling with the angel all night on his way back to his father's house. And he saw his mad brother was on his way to meet him. Yahweh took care of it, though. He gave Jacob his test and trial, wrestling with the angel all night. And Jacob, he prevailed and with the angel, and the angel gave him a blessing. He says, your name is no longer Jacob, it is Israel. So when we overcome and prevail with the angel today, then we can either receive the direct name Israel, or we can be, as the Gentile brethren, can be grafted in into this stalk of Israel, this tree that belongs to Israel. Okay, so it says there's hope of a tree if it be cut down. I said in Job 14:7, it says there's hope of a tree. What tree? The fig tree. Okay, what does the fig tree represent? It represents the house of Israel. There's hope of that tree if you cut it down. What does it mean? It means when Israel has filled up her cup and she has wrung it out, it means that she has produced a remnant. That remnant is that tender branch that grows up from the roots of that tree. Okay. And it says there in Job 14:7, for there is hope of a tree if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not see. And the only hope for the spiritual Israel today is if you cut her down and leave the stalk in the earth there. Because it says in Job 14:8, though the root thereof wax old in the earth and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the sin of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. So what's happening to Israel over in Jerusalem today? That tree is being cut down. And those leaders there in Jerusalem, Netanyahu and his bunch, that are compromising with the Assyrian, okay, they are making deals with the enemy, okay, so they're soon to be cut down, all of them. But it says through this, it says, though the root thereof was old in the earth. When was Israel established? It was established with Jacob. Okay. And that was even before Moses' time. That was before Moses ever came on the scene in 1500 B.C. I have a genealogy thing telling when Jacob came on the scene. It seemed like several hundred years before Moses, around 1718 B.C. Anyway, it says, though the root thereof wash over in the earth and the stalk thereof die on the ground. Okay, that stalk of Israel in Jerusalem is dying in the ground. But the tender branch is going to sprout. It says, for there is hope of a tree if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not see. Okay, where is that tender branch coming up at? Right here in Liberty Hill, Texas. Okay. And it's sprouting. The tender branch is coming up and it's sprouting. And when it says it's sprouting, it means that they begin to take on some form. And as it grows up to maturity, it will take on some new friends. Because they will see it grow up, and their new friends will no doubt be their Gentile brethren that will join the house of Israel. Okay, so it says, though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof down the ground, yet through the scent of the water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. All right. So, folks, we have a bright future. We have a kingdom of peace, and it says in Isaiah 26:3, that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. Isaiah 26:12, Yahweh, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us. Isaiah 27:5, O let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. Isaiah 32:17, and the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness, and the assurance forever. Isaiah 33:7, behold, their violent ones shall cry, without the ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. Isaiah 36:21, let they held their peace, and answered him not a word, for the king's commandment was saying, answer him not. Isaiah 38:17, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Now Isaiah is so overjoyed that he had gotten his sins cast behind his back, and all he had to do is just go to Isaiah chapter 6 and read it. And Isaiah was a very righteous man. The greatest, the four major prophets of the Old Testament, he's the greatest. He's the number one of the Old Testament as far as greatness in every area of his life. In Isaiah 6, he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Yahweh sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And and above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is Yahshua of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. When is this to be? It's right here in front of us, folks. It starts with this kingdom that just sprouts, the tender sprout that came up from the root system. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with the smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Yahshua of the host. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Yahweh saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said I, Yahweh, how long? And he answered, Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. Okay, this is now that we're fulfilling Isaiah's dream here, his vision. We're fulfilling it for him today. This is what the prophecy is for us today. And the Yahweh have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten as a teal tree, and as an oak whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. So all that's going to be left in this great land, this righteous nation of Texas here one day, will be the tenth, the remnant that returns, representing the holy seed. Okay, and then all those that are converted unto them will be all holy as well. So this is where Isaiah had prepared himself, and he had gotten his iniquity in verse 7. He said, He laid this coal upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. This is exactly the number one most important thing to take place in our lives and anyone's lives, especially those placed at the leadership head of the kingdom. They have to be purified and sanctified and made white. And in order for them to be empowered with the Pentecostal power, on the day of Pentecost, if you will, to go forward, conquering and the conquering, and the harvesting of the first fruits, as Revelation 14 talks about, which is 144,000, and then Isaiah 66 talks about the second fruits, that the 144,000 are now commissioned to go and get their brethren from all the nations around the world, the Gentile brethren. And they had their lips touched with the coals from off the altar. You go read that right there in Revelation 8, where they were harvested with the coals from off the altar. Revelation chapter 8 is your prophecy for that. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before the Yahweh, and to them were given seven trumpets. Okay, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. The throne of what? You read that throne right there in Luke 1:32. That's the throne he's talking about. And that's the throne of David, where Yahshua sat upon the throne of David. And that's in the sanctuary now. This throne of David is in the earthly sanctuary. Okay? Well, then that's another new breaking news. 1:32. It says, He shall be great, or 131, and the 132, see, 131, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Yahshua. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Yahweh Elohim shall give unto him the throne of his father David. So now, what is this angel that's taking coals from off the altar? The same coals he took off the altar for Isaiah, and touched his lips with it, on the Day of Atonement, no less. That's the day when sins are blotted out and purged on a yearly basis, year to year, on the Day of Atonement, 10th day of the 7th month. Therefore are they before the throne of Elohim and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And who did I just read about sitting upon the throne? Yahshua. Okay. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, and neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of the waters, and Elohim shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Okay, so now there's a judgment scene right here, Revelation 8. Revelation 8. I just read to you a few verses, the last few verses of Revelation 7. Okay. So now, let's just go back. Let's go back and read the whole chapter of Revelation 7. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. Earth in prophecy is the United States. That the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living Elohim. And he cried with a loud voice unto the four angels, unto whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Now here we have just counted now eight angels, right here between verses 1 and 2. In those two verses, first you had four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, okay, nor on the sea, which the sea means the old country, Europe, in that western eastern hemisphere, nor on any tree, that means your preachers, that means your ministers. Okay, that means your purified ministers. It says, and I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living Elohim, and he cried with a loud voice unto the four angels, unto whom is given to hurt the earth and the sea. So here's four more angels, and who is this angel ascending from the east? This is Yahshua. Where is he coming from? He's coming from Jerusalem, where he came first when he came from heaven. Where is the prophecy that he came to this earth at all then? And when did he come? You go find Ezekiel chapter 1. Will give you a prophecy on that. Ezekiel 1:26. And he said that, and above the firmament that was above their heads was the likeness of a throne, and the appearance of a sapphire stone, and upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. So here comes a man, Yahshua. He's in a flying saucer. And Ezekiel saw it in vision. He says, one like the Son of Man. And he's coming in the sanctuary. His throne is in the sanctuary, and that is the throne of David, believe it or not. In the sanctuary, in heaven, where Yahshua was coronated when he went back to heaven 40 days after his resurrection. He was coronated as King of Kings and Sovereign of Sovereigns upon the throne of David. And now when it comes time for him to come back to this earth, Ezekiel saw him in prophecy here. In vision. Ezekiel saw him in vision. And he had the appearance of a man. Okay. What the Son of Man had the appearance of man, the Son of Man. That was Yahshua. So this angel from the east, in Revelation 7:2, he said, and I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living Elohim, Yahweh the Father. And he cried with a loud voice unto the four angels, unto whom is given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth. Now, If the writers of this Bible had been with the inspiration on this, They had to put verse 3 in red, because this is Yahshua's words right here, verse 3 in Revelation 7. But they didn't know this. They just thought it was an angel, a regular angel. No, it was that same angel that comes down with the key to unlock the bottomless pit and set the captives free. They're in Revelation 20, 19 and 20 and 21. Okay? That's that same angel. It's Yahshua. Michael, the high archangel. the Michael, the angel. Saying, hurt not the earth, and neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of Elohim in their forehead. So, no matter what Obama and them got planned for the United States, and they're getting it all set up, to destroy it and put in Sharia law and bring in Allah and Muslim and completely nullify our Constitution and set up a whole new bogus false religion that's not even a religion at all, that most you could call the Muslims is a culture. They don't even identify with any kind of a religion. Okay, saying, hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of Elohim in their forehead. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Nephthalim were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000, of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. After this I beheld and lo a great multitude which no man could number of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with the robes and palms in their hands. What throne were they standing before? The throne of David. Okay. And Revelation 7:10, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation unto our Yahweh. And let's look at this again. And crying with a loud voice, saying, salvation unto our Savior, Yahshua the Messiah, which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. Okay. Now, this is a little different situation here. Let's read that again in the light that is written here, because we have two deities shown here. We have the Father, which is they call God in the pagan term, which sits upon the throne. What throne? His throne in the most holy place on the Day of Atonement. That's the only time the Father and the Son are in the same place. In the year is on the Day of Atonement. Okay. And Yahweh, the Father, His presence is represented by the Holy Shekinah underneath the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant in the most holy place. And that's only demonstrated once a year that the presence of the Father is there. So it says, and he cried with a loud voice, saying, unto salvation unto our Yahweh Elohim, which sitteth upon the throne in the most holy place in the sanctuary on the Day of Atonement, and unto the Lamb. Now, if you want to see this judgment scene and read about it, it's in Revelation 5, a whole chapter. You can read about it. And it's the judgment scene of Yahweh the Father sitting upon the throne in the sanctuary on the Day of Atonement. And it shows the Son here in chapter 5 of Revelation as a lamb standing in the midst of the throne. In the midst of it. And he's standing before the Father that sitteth upon the throne. Okay. So let's continue on. Revelation 7:11. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne on their faces and worshipped Elohim, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be under our Elohim forever and ever. Hallelujah. And one of the elders answered, saying, unto me. What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of Elohim, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more. Okay, now, look at this. Now, this is a scene, folks, where it's Yahweh, the Father, is coming, and he's sitting upon this throne in the most holy place. And the Son is sitting upon his throne in the sanctuary, but not in the most holy place. Okay? Unless he has graduated to his Father's throne, and he has become the judge himself of this whole world. And that may very well be. That will be, have to show inspiration, opening that up in the future for us. Anyway, it says, They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the living fountains of waters, and Elohim shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. When is he going to do that? After the 144,000 are sealed. It says they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. And that's in Revelation 14. Now let's go back and read Revelation chapter 5. And let's get a new vision here about this judgment throne. This is set up in the judgment of the living time here in the 12th parabolic hour. He says, And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written. Okay, who's the one on the throne with a book in his hand, in his right hand? That's God. That's Yahweh the Father. Written within and on the backside sealed with a seven seal. Okay, here's your book of seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaim with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor on earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of the David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. This is Yahshua. This is Yahshua that is a Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed. Now, I want to ask you something. As I've said before, and understand that the 22 books of the Revelation is what's in the book of the seven seals, those seven books. And it's already been printed and written. Now, so when did the book of seven seals open? When did Yahshua open his book of seven seals? He opened them to John the Revelator. He opened the book of the seven seals to John the Revelator. Okay. Now, and John the Revelator didn't even know it, but he wrote it. He recorded it being open. He said the Lion of the tribe of Judah was only worthy to open the book of seven seals. Now, what does that tell you? The only reason to open up the book of seven seals is to start the judgment. Okay, when did the judgment start then for this world? 1844? Yeah, we had at the end of the 2300 days, but when did the judgment start for Satan and his angels? It started after Yahshua resurrected from the cross. And I'm going to go read it to you. And John chapter 12. I'm going to read to you in John chapter 12, where the judgment started for Satan and his angels, right after the cross, right after Yahshua's resurrection. And we're going to start with verse 31. It says, Now is the judgment of this world. Let's start with verse 27. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from the heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. For the people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake unto him. Yahshua answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sake. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Who is the prince of this world? Satan, Lucifer. Now, did you know that Satan has, in the Hebrew, has his name written in the Hebrew, recorded in the Hebrew? Over 3,000 years ago, when the Hebrew was first written by Moses, when it was first put in written form. And guess what Barack Obama's name is? It's a Hebrew name. And what does it mean? What does it mean in the Hebrew? It means Lucifer. It's the name of Lucifer, Satan. That's just a matter of Hebrew history, folks. Just go and investigate it for yourself. So he says, now the judgment of this world, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Now that we have the Antichrist that has come in these last days, and his name is Barack Obama. Okay. And so now Lucifer has his reincarnation here on this earth that is sitting in the seat of the presidency, not only of the world, which he was inaugurated in 2010 at the UN. He was inaugurated. They sit in that king seat and said that he is the president of the whole world. I think it was on about September, I don't want to say 27th, like that, or something like that, 2010. I need to go check out my facts. Don't hold me to that, but anyway, he was, they said whenever the President of the United States, sits upon that seat, nobody has ever sit in that seat at the UN. They said whenever a President of the United States sits in that seat, it means he has been nominated and chosen by the people of the world to be their President of the world, or the ruler of the world. And Obama sat in that seat and gave a 2-hour talk after he sat in that seat. And so he says he's both president of the world and the United States. And his name is Lucifer. Okay, that was given to him in heaven. Okay, I say in Lucifer. Satan's name was not Satan in heaven. I say it wasn't. Don't hold me to that either, just right at the moment. Satan's original name is Barack Obama. That's Satan's original name. Okay? Yahshua came to this world, and Yahweh the Father introduced him as Yahshua. Yehoshua, Yahshua. Okay? And the Father introduced his own son with the Hebrew name Yehoshua, or Yeshua, whatever it is. And then the Father introduced himself as the Eliyahu, E-L-I-Y-A-H-U, a 7-letter word. Two parts of his name, Eliyah and Yahuwah. Okay, Eliyahu. So, if the Father and the Son had original names that they had in heaven, And Lucifer was created in heaven, and Hebrew shows that the names of the Father and the Son is Yahweh and Yahshua. Then it shows Barack Obama is Lucifer and Satan. So Lucifer and Satan are your English names that was transliterated from the Hebrew vernacular and alphabet. Okay. So it says, Yahshua says, now the judgment of this world. When? When he resurrected. Okay. What's the reason for going sitting upon a throne? For anyone. To be crowned as king. When a king takes his place on the throne, then he's empowered with judgment. That he can perform and pronounce judgment upon anyone because he has a parliamentary rule. Head, meaning that he's a sole, what we would call a dictator today for these evil leaders like Hitler. But he's a sole, he's a He's the judge and the jury and the executioner, all three in one. So when Yahshua sit upon his throne, he says, now the judgment of this world, now shall the prince of this world be cast down, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And then he goes right over there in Revelation 12:9, and he shows where he went back to heaven and did that very thing. He cast Lucifer out after he had judged him. So he went back to heaven 40 days after his resurrection. He went and sat upon the throne in his father's throne. He went and took the seat by the side of his father. And his father is the one that had the angels, the high archangels, to come and crown his son as King of Kings and Sovereign of Sovereign upon the throne of David in heaven. And now here we have Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. It says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our Yahweh Elohim. What's this kingdom? The everlasting kingdom of David. Okay, and the power of his Yahshua, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused him before Elohim day and night. And this everlasting kingdom of David is contemporary with the everlasting kingdom of heaven. They're both contemporary, one with the other. It starts with the kingdom of heaven, and because it says right there in Revelation, Hebrews chapter 12. Now we go to Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll learn a little bit more about this kingdom in heaven, and the one here on earth are joined together as one kingdom. And let's read about that in Hebrews chapter 12. It says, verse 20, let's start with verse 20. It says, for they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But you are come unto the Mount Sion, and unto the city of the living Elohim, the heavenly Jerusalem, and unto a numerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and unto Elohim the judge of all, and unto the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Yahshua the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on the earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. So the church in heaven and the one here on earth, when Yahshua brought this church forward with his disciples and anointed them, poured out his spirit upon them on the day of Pentecost, and commissioned them to go and put them in charge of all nations and all the people in Jerusalem around about. And then what was their calling? Their calling was to rule over the then known world. And so they had power over the Romans and so forth. And what was that church called that Yahshua inaugurated there after his resurrection? It was called the Church of the Firstborn. Okay? So the house of Israel, started with the apostles of the New Testament, is called the Church of the Firstborn. And they had a candlestick. Okay? And they had a name. The Church of the Firstborn had a name here on earth. It was called the Church of Ephesus. Okay? The Church of the Firstborn is the Church of Ephesus. And it had the first candlestick of the seven candlesticks mentioned right there in Revelation chapter 2, starting with the name of those seven candlesticks. And right here in Revelation chapter 2, verse 1, it says that unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the key, seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. Right, who was that? Who was the first one that the apostles tried of Ephesus? They tried Ananias and Sapphira. Okay. Now, isn't this amazing that Ananias and Sapphira had joined the kingdom of grace? with the apostle. Okay, the kingdom of David they joined, the everlasting kingdom of David they joined. Okay. Now I just read to you there in Revelation chapter 2, talking about the church of Ephesus. Said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Who tried them? Peter tried them. And who was the one that said that they were apostles and they were found to be liars? Ananias and Sapphira, Acts chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said unto Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie unto the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? Because you see, they had all pledged, that had the members of the church back then had pledged a piece of ground to sell it and give all the proceeds to charity, to those that were less fortunate than them, and to help them to live, eat and live and so forth. It says, Acts chapter 5, verse 4, while it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto Yahweh. Now, what I read to you right here in Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, about those members of Ephesus, I know thy works and thy labors and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. This is talking about the apostles. They can, once they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they were put in charge of the church, the everlasting kingdom of David, then they couldn't bear them that were evil. And those that snuck in among them and said, well, we're one with you. Our hearts are with you. We want to join you, become members. That was Ananias and Sapphira. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Okay. So Ananias and Sapphira says, we are apostles. We want to join you and be apostles. And they did. And the disciples accepted them. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down. Acts chapter 5, verse 5. Fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. Okay. It is about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. And Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of Yahweh? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in, and found her dead, and carried her forth, and buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church. What church? The church of David, the everlasting kingdom of David. And upon as many as heard these things. Okay. So, the angel of the church of Ephesus writes these things. Saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. Okay. So, who is actually the angel of the church of Ephesus? Okay, the Church of Ephesus, if it was organized, I would say since Yahshua told Peter that he'd give him the keys to the kingdom, that Peter was made the angel of the Church of Ephesus. Now, I know I have published and told you that Paul is an angel of the candlestick of Ephesus, and he was. He inherited that as an angel when he was told to go to the Gentiles, because the people at Ephesus are Gentiles as well. Ananias and Sapphira, no doubt, were Gentiles. And they joined the apostolic house of David, and claiming to be apostles and wanting to be apostles. And so the apostles let them join to prove themselves, but they were actually Gentiles. Okay. Said, and unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, now Paul is the angel of Ephesus at the time that he was commissioned to go to the Gentiles. And he may very well have been the only angel of Ephesus. I'm going to have to do a little more investigation on this. But Peter was given the keys to the kingdom. I do know that. And Peter is the one that pronounced judgment upon Ananias and Sapphira here. Okay. We're getting close to the end of our study here, believe it or not. And so let's go back to Revelation chapter 7. Actually, we're at Revelation chapter 8 now. We just got through with reading Revelation chapter 5. And let's just go back to Revelation 5 and finish that up. It says in verse 9, and verse 8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of the odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to Elohim by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Now these four beasts that are standing in this throne room, around about the throne, they represent people, representatives of all ages clear back to Adam. And they represent the Gentile nations as well. And so they're there as ambassadors and representatives at this judgment scene of their own people. And they confirmed and witnessed that Yahshua was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, had redeemed them unto Elohim by his blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hath made us unto our Elohim kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, and every creature which is in the heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. This brings for us to this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close this service now with Yahweh's blessings upon the hearers of this word, and especially our Gentile brethren. We love them very much. Because in prophecy they are definitely going to be a very big part and an integral part of this everlasting kingdom of heaven, which is the same thing as the everlasting kingdom of David that has been set up here in the Liberty Hill, Texas. This is where the root and offspring of David, Yahshua, is coming to set up his throne with contemporaneously with David, forming that ensign that is found in Isaiah 11. This brings a close. Let's do this hour. Contact us once again at the 11th hour call. We're going to close this now with a song. Without Hope. Without hope, without Yah, walked a stranger one day. Without faith, without friends, his life in disarray. Then a light shone through from the hill far away. Thank Yah for a miracle, one is now on its way. Oh, pray for the hopeless, the sinner that's lost. Pray for the helpless, don't consider the cause. For that hopeless, you know, can well be you. So pray for the sinner, the life to renew. Without hope, without Yah, came a woman one day. To draw water from the well, she had nothing to say. To the stranger who sat there with peace all around. Thank Yah for a small favor, a miracle was found. Oh, pray for the hopeless, the sinner that's lost. Pray for the helpless, don't consider the cost. For the hopeless, you know, it will be you. So pray for the sinner, the life to renew. Without hope, without God, the world would be lost. He sent redemption at a terrible cost. For the plan that was laid and the price that was paid. Thank y'all for a miracle, mankind could be saved. Oh, pray for the hopeless, the sinner that's lost. Pray for the helpless, don't consider the cost. For the hopeless, you know, it will be you. So pray for the sinner, the life to be due.